question is, the most important event in human history occurs in this week's Sedra, giving of the Torah. You would think that the rabbis would have made a special Sedra just for that. And yet they coupled it together with Yisro's coming and Yisro's advice, and right in the middle of that, it's the tail end of the Sedra, is the whole parish of giving of the Torah. Why'd they do that? And the question is even stronger, according to the opinion that Yisro actually did not come before the Torah was given. This is out of chronological order. So why in the world did the Torah see fit to preface Yisro's visit to Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, which happened later, and put it before? What's the importance? Why is this visit of Yisro so important that it has to be coupled together with the giving of the Torah? So I want to explain perhaps the following. The Torah existed before the world was created. Torah was not created when it was given in this world at Matan Torah. So what changed? What happened when the Torah was given? Not only that, the Avos kept the Torah before it was given. So what was the major impact of the change of the giving of the Torah? And the Sfarim explain that when the Torah was given, the world, this physical world, and all of the spiritual worlds became connected to the Torah. Meaning, the Torah now has an effect on everything in nature, and everything in nature now has an effect on all the spiritual worlds. What we do in this world, since we receive the Torah, has implications for everything in all the spiritual worlds. It all emanates from what we do here. Once the Torah was given, the spiritual world and the physical world meshed, and what happens in the totality of the universe depends on what human beings do here in this world, Torah-wise. Our Torah makes a difference in all of the worlds. For instance, once the Torah was given, we have the power to sanctify the month, and when we say it's the month, that's when it is. And even there's a medrash that says that God does not enter into judgment on Rosh Hashanah until the Beis Din Shalmata, the court in this world, decides that it's Rosh Hashanah, because they can make it this day or the next day. First, God has to know when the Beis Din is going to make it Rosh Hashanah. Right? It says that our keeping Shabbos keeps the world going. It creates the battery power for another 6 days of creation. Our learning Torah keeps the world going. That happens from the time the Torah was given. Before that, God kept the world going, b'chesed. Before that, God kept the world going just because there was a Shabbos in the world. But now it depends on our keeping Shabbos, our learning Torah. So what we do, our Torah and mitzvahs, is the energy source for all of the worlds. And all of the worlds depend on the Torah. There's a meshing of the physical world and the spiritual world. That's what happened when the Torah was given. And that's why the giving of the Torah is represented by God descending on Har Sinai and Moshe going up to God. They met halfway. The physical world was elevated and ascended to the spiritual world, and the spiritual world descended and came down into the physical world, and they meshed together in the middle. And now there's a unbreakable, indivisible connection between the physical and the spiritual, which is spanned by our observance of the Torah. And that's why this Sedra, the Sedra of the giving of the Torah, is prefaced with the visit of Yisro, because the visit of Yisro represents this idea in many ways. Firstly, Yisro came to his understanding of godliness. He came to spirituality from the physicality of this world. What does Yisro say? Ata yadati ki gadol Hashem mikol ho Elohim. Now I know that God is greater than all the other gods. Now on the surface that seems like a chutzpahdika thing to say. That means there are other gods and they're great, but God's greater. that what Yisrael meant? No. I think what he meant is the following. I know now that God is the ultimate. How do I know that? Mikol ho-Elohim, from my investigation of all the other powers in the world. Because I investigated every physical power in this world, Elohim is, when it refers to God, is in plural. Because it refers to God in nature. God as being the power of all powers. So therefore it can also mean Elohim Acherim, other powers. Other powers within the world. Yisro investigated every power. And he realized that they are not the ultimate power. They are only powers that emanate from other powers. Until he came to the realization that there must be one source of all these powers who's beyond all of this, who's not part of this world, but who created this world, that's how I know that there's Hashem, the creator, because I've investigated all the Elohim, all the powers. So Yisro himself combined those two worlds. By investigating totally this physical, natural world, he came to understand that there is a world beyond that with a God who is beyond this world, who created the world. So you have already this concept of the connection between the physical world and the spiritual world that's created by Torah. And what inspired Yisro? What was the final nail that put it all together for Yisro? Ki badovar asher zodu aleihem. Because the Egyptians were punished in kind. They drowned our children, they got drowned. What do you see from there? That God and the physical, what people do, creates a something that is reacted to by the spiritual world, by God. God reacts to the actions of people. So God deals with people in kind. What the Egyptians did caused God to punish them in kind. So what we do is significant, and that's what gives the cue to God and the spiritual world to function in consonance with the physical world, for the good and for the bad. When we do good things, then good hashpah comes into the world. We do bad things, it causes bad hashpah to come into the world, and people are punished according to what they do, or rewarded according to what they do. That shows that total synchronization between this physical world and the spiritual world, which is what Torah is all about. And that's why the Aseres Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, correspond to the Asara Mamoros, to the ten utterances with which God created the world. Except the Sfarim point out, Asara Mamoros are ten separate utterances. The physical world is, each thing is separate to itself. What unites them all under God? The Aseres Hadibros. How to deal spiritually with the physical world unites the world and makes it a representation of the oneness of God in the physical world and the spiritual world mesh. So the Aseres Hadibros and the Asara Mamoros go together. What happened when the Torah was given was the Aseres Hadibros devolved into the Asara Mamoros. The spiritual world devolved into the physical, natural world. And that's what it says as the preface to the giving of the Torah. There's a sentence that prefaces the giving of the Torah. Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvarim ha'ela leimor. Where do we find that Elokim before? Bereshis bara Elokim. Elokim, like we said, is God in nature. It's the God of nature who now is continuing and completing creation. Creation wasn't completed because it was only half. It was only this physical world. Only when it became connected to the spiritual world, now when there's the Aseres Hadibros, is that creation completed. So the Elohim of Bereshis, Bara Elohim, now completed that creation by meshing the physical world with the spiritual world. And that's why it says, what did Yisro hear that prompted him to come and join the Jewish people? Right, that it wasn't enough just to stay where he was and believe in the, and find the ideas of God or whatever, but he had to come physically and join the Jewish people. There are two things. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf, which was a totally spiritual occurrence. You sit still and God will fight your battles. Everything is done from the heavens. And then, and the total abrogation of nature. And then Milchemes Amalek, by Amalek, just the opposite. Everything had to be done within nature. You go out and fight. So this represented the idea that God is the God of the spiritual world, the God of the physical world, like they mesh together. He saw that the physical and the spiritual have to mesh together. Sometimes God functions through the spiritual world, sometimes he functions through the physical world. And that's why Yisro, either right after the giving of the Torah, or right before the giving of the Torah, brought Moshe Rabbeinu, his family. Because the Torah is all way up there. Moshe Rabbeinu is up there in the heavens with the angels. But you have to bring the Torah down into this world, into your own personal family. Right? It can't remain up there with the angels. The whole purpose of the giving of the Torah is it should permeate the most mundane things. So Moshe had to be rejoined with his family. Not be up there with the angels, be down here with his wife and children. And that's why it says, what did Yisro do? Did two things. He brought sacrifices up there in the heavens, and he also gave advice to Moshe Rabbeinu how he could integrate his Torah and spirituality and his leadership of the Jewish people in teaching them Torah and his normal everyday life, that the two should mesh and synchronize, and he shouldn't have burn out because he's not meshing the Torah with the physical, natural world. And that's what was Yisro's thing. You can't stay here from night day to night and not lead a certain normal life. You'll burn out. You can't deal in a way that does not recognize the fact that you have to bring the Torah into the natural, physical world and fit it to your what a human being schedule can be. You can't have the schedule of an angel. You have to have the schedule of a human being. So Yisro, on the one hand, brought sacrifices representing the spiritual world, and he gave advice to Moshe Rabbeinu how to integrate the Torah into his daily, schedule, so he doesn't burn out. That the Torah, the spiritual and physical, have to mesh together. This same idea. And that is what it says. The Seder is called Yisro. It's not called Matan Torah. Why? Because why was Yisro called Yisro? Shenisoser, an extra parsha in the Torah was added in his name. Meaning that this goy, can't get more physical than that, gave advice that became Mamish Torah. So the physical became Torah, became spiritual. And this goy converted and changed himself from a totally physical being to a being that was physical, spiritual together. So Yisro himself, his advice, the fact that the parsha was added, represents this idea of the physical and the spiritual becoming one. Now in Kabbalah, the Arizal, other Svarim say that Yisro was a Gilgal of Kayin, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a Gilgal of Hevel. Kayin and Hevel, right, the original brothers, their souls were transmigrated through Yisro, and that's why Yisro is called Hakeni, right? Kayin. And Moshe Rabbeinu is a Gilgal of Hevel. There are many hints to all of this. What's the idea? What was Kayin's fault? He couldn't mesh the physical world and the spiritual. He brought a sacrifice, and measure up to what a sacrifice should be. He brought from the worst. He couldn't take this physical world and make it measure up to the spiritual world. So he couldn't put them together. He couldn't bring the right kind of sacrifices where you take the physical and the spiritual and the physical come together. He couldn't do that, right? He cheated and brought the inferior because he couldn't feel that the physical and spiritual could mesh. And therefore, he killed his brother because he denied him his rights to the physical world, put him into the spiritual world. Right? They argued over who's going to control this world, the next world, this parts of the world, the other parts of the world. They couldn't get it all together that there was harmony between the physical and the spiritual. So Kayin himself couldn't make harmony by bringing a sacrifice, which is the meshing of the physical and the spiritual, and he ended up throwing his brother into the next world, and he had this world, because they couldn't mesh together. They couldn't see how to share this world and the next world together. So therefore, Yisro corrected what Cain did. And before the Torah was given, he understood, or after the Torah was given, he understood that the whole idea of the giving of the Torah is meshing the physical and spiritual world. And he brought those sacrifices. And he meshed the physical and spiritual by giving Moshe advice, who was Hevel, of how to exist in this world at the same time of being spiritual, which is the opposite of what Cain did to Hevel, of threw him out of this world, put him into a spiritual world. So this whole episode was a tikkun. It was a correction of Cain killing Hevel, and the reason why he ended up killing him, because he couldn't bring the proper kind of sacrifice, all of that was corrected in the beginning of this week's Sedra. And that's why this is the preface to the giving of the Torah, because it represents what the giving of the Torah accomplished. Okay. Any questions on this? I want to speak about two other things. Yes.
I just had a question at the beginning. You said it was after the giving of Torah where the physical and spiritual worlds were meshed. Like,
right.
Then
that whatever was done here, right, whatever was done here had an effect on all the spiritual worlds, and the Torah has an effect on all the physical world.
So what was it before that?
Before that, the Torah existed. It existed in a spiritual way. Didn't yet come into this world. Somebody could by voluntarily keep those mitzvahs, but it didn't have the effect on all of the worlds as it does, as it did after the Torah was given.
At that time, though, weren't our mitzvot still affecting the spiritual world?
Not the same way. Maybe in a very... It says, the Zohar says that the mitzvahs of the Avos were reichos. As opposed to, you have a food, the substance of the food wasn't there. It was just the nice smell. It was more ethereal.
Okay.
It wasn't yet based, anchored in the physical world.
Okay.
Yes?
So
some say that the Torah was given to Adam HaRishon voluntarily, and he passed it down. Others say they learned it from nature. They could see in nature what the various mitzvahs should be, since when God created the world, he created the world according to the Torah. So if you understand the Torah is the blueprint for the world. You can understand the world from the blueprint, or you can understand the blueprint from the world.
So when the Rebbe was talking about Yisrael, who had come because he had heard of two things, the Kriyas Yamsuf and Amalek,
Kriyas Yamsuf was something totally heavenly. They sat still and God took care, and it was a total abrogation of nature. Whereas Amalek, they fought within nature.
Okay. Thank you. If Yitro brought the family of Moshe to him to bring him more down to earth, to match the physical with the spiritual, then why did he in Bar Mitzvah afterwards
sent her away? That was a... Doesn't he sent her away? He couldn't live with her as husband and wife because of a technicality that he had to be pure when he spoke to the Rabbanu Shalom. And when the Rabbanu Shalom spoke to him, it was all the time, without a warning. And his body took part. He was normal. He wasn't like a prophet that lost control over his body. Well, his body took part in the prophecy, Moshe Rabbeinu. So his body had to be tahor. He had to be pure. Therefore, he couldn't live with his wife because he had to be ready to speak to God at every moment. Not really, because he still had a family. He still had children, he still had a wife, and he still had family life, except this one part of the physical relationship that he didn't have.
Mm-hmm.